Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for Monday, May the 3rd, 2021. This is Air Force veteran David Corey, and my co-host Richard Hurley hopefully will be joining us shortly. He's had a very busy day today. We'd like to thank you for joining us this evening. We have a very special guest this evening with lots of information of interest to veterans and their families. Before we get to our guest, I want to remind everyone that this is a call-in show that welcomes your views, your comments, and your questions. So you can call us anytime. Hey, Rick, you can call us anytime during the show at 1-888-627-6008, and I'll say it's a little slower for everyone. This is our nationwide call-in number. It's 1-888-627-6008. Our special guest tonight is Kristen Judge, who founded the nonprofit Cybercrime Support Network, or CSN, and she works, and her organization works with corporations as well as federal, state, and local law enforcement and consumer protection agencies to address the needs of individuals and small businesses who are affected and harmed by cybercrime. A leader of international impact, Kristen Judge has contributed to the World Economic Forum's Partnership Against Cybercrime, Demos the Great Cyber Surrender, How Police and Government Abandoned Cybercrime Victims, and Third Ways, a Roadmap to Strengthen U.S. Cyber Enforcement. Where do we go from here? And she is called on by media outlets such as Time Magazine, Box, SC Magazine, and Government Technology to share the latest on cybercrime impacts. Kristen was named an SC Media Women in IT Security Influencer and Women of Influence by the Executive Women's Forum. She is an international speaker sharing cybersecurity best practices and cybercrime impacts with elected officials, businesses, and consumers, and she authored the LinkedIn course, Cybersecurity for Small and Medium Businesses, Essential Training. So let's welcome Kristen Judge to the Veterans News Hour. Hello, Kristen. How are you?
Hi, David. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's our privilege. We're looking forward to an exciting show. We have lots to discuss on this topic, so let me just start with asking you, what is the Partnership to Fight Cybercrime, and why was it established?
That's a great question. Thank you for having us to talk about this really important issue. We started the Partnership to Fight Cybercrime as a call to action to everybody that we touch to pay attention to people that are impacted by cybercrime and to do their part to help their brothers and sisters and their neighbors and friends and family. So we want to make sure that we have tools and knowledge and skills that everybody in the U.S. has so that they can defeat and defend against cybercrime, because about 50 million people a year are impacted.
Wow, that's a significant number that I don't think most people realize. So who makes up this partnership to fight cybercrime?
We work with amazing companies that have funded us, including Google, Microsoft, AT&T, and many others. And then we are working with veteran service organizations, the Bob Woodruff Foundation, Craig Newmark Philanthropies, who's done so much for our veteran and military community, and many other military service organizations. So we're all coming together to make sure we have a national program with really good messaging, clear PSAs, so that our military and veteran families understand the threat and have the resources they need to defend against it.
Well, that sounds great, and it's very awesome how you have so many organizations working together. Kristen, what sparked the focus on military and veteran community for the cybercrime project?
So as I do research all the time, I've been working in this space for about 12 years, there's a lot of research that's been done that shows that the military and veteran communities are disproportionately targeted by criminals for a few reasons. They're moving a lot. Spouses may not be able to get a hold of each other for periods of time. They have to, you know, rent apartments and they get pushed away, you know, to a new place very quickly, and they have to make decisions quickly. So the criminals will capitalize on that. And so I kept hearing over and over that military and veterans were targeted And I read one study that showed that veterans had a harder time coming back from a cybercrime than the civilians. And that really touched my heart. We've done a lot of hiring our heroes in our company. We're about 30 people strong now in just 3 years. But part of our hiring practices has been to hire military spouses and veterans as part of setting up the company. So having our chief marketing officer is a military spouse, and we started reading these statistics, we said, you know what, we need to do something very specifically targeted for this community because no one is really taking on the responsibility of giving them the messaging and the services they need. So we took it on, and we certainly won't take it on our own. The partners are coming to the table very quickly.
Well, that's great. That focus certainly makes sense, and for all the reasons you described, what would be some examples of how the partnership can and is helping the military and the veteran communities?
So as any nonprofit signs up to be a partner, they get sent a toolkit electronically that has social media posts, social media graphics, PSA flyers. We're going to be doing some training that they can take and do train the trainer. So we're creating all this great collateral and working with Crosby Marketing, who's been a phenomenal partner. They are creating really top-notch collateral. And so we hope that then those nonprofits will take all of that collateral and push it out to their audiences that trust them. You know, we know that people will listen most to the organizations that they trust. So we didn't want to come in as the cybersecurity leader and say, oh, well, we're an expert in military and veterans, because we aren't. But we understand the cyber part, and if we partner with people who specialize in serving our service members, then the information should really come through them.
I see. Now, I know Rick Hurley has some follow-up questions, so let me turn it over to Rick.
Hi, Rick.
Thanks, David. Hey, how you doing, Kristen? Listen, you know, ironically, when we had booked you on the show, before I get into my questions, I had a situation involving my fiance's, one of her best friends. She's from Honduras. And she was being contacted by a person who said he was a U.S. Army general serving in Iraq. And the messages going back and forth were unbelievable, and he was able to provide I got David involved in this. He was able to provide IDs and pictures in a military uniform with his name on it.
Yeah.
And IDs that showed that he was this general. Now, David, you know, when I finally got David involved, he was able to, you know, pierce the, these IDs. But it was unbelievable how convincing he was.
Well, this is where our military and veterans are being taken advantage of, and it's usually in romance scams, which I'm sure is what you're alluding to.
And that's exactly what this was, because she's been dying to get into a relationship. So she's been going on so many different sites, and lo and behold, this guy pops up, and you know, like 2 weeks ago, she says, "I found the man. I found this man."
Of course.
And the more we dove into it, you know, I kept saying, Teresa, look, I think the guy's lying. I can't believe this, you know. And then she goes, oh, no, it's got to be true. Look at all the IDs he's showing. And he's a U.S. general in Iraq. He commands over 370 soldiers in Iraq. I'm like, Teresa, relax. She was so convinced that it was the real deal. And then eventually it turned into a monetary issue and something that he wanted her to do on a monetary side. She was completely fooled and taken advantage of. And I dare say if I, you know, wasn't involved with my fiance, who's the best friend of this woman, who knows what would have happened?
She probably would have given away her whole life savings and more, which is what is happening to millions and millions of victims every year. I think the latest numbers where they counted the people who just reported to the FBI that they were a victim of a romance scam. They lost about $420 million last year. We think that less than 5% actually report. So that we're talking about billions of dollars leaving the U.S. economy every year to these people who, a lot of these rings are out of Nigeria. And the Cook County law enforcement prosecutors just prosecuted a whole ring, and there were 100 romance scam victims that were as a part of this case. But they did convict the Nigerians, and they're getting better. DOJ works very closely with FBI and Secret Service. But if people don't report, even if they only lost $1,000, they're part of a bigger ring that's probably taking millions. We need people to report. And that's really one of the things that we focus on, too.
Yeah, I mean, I consider myself a pretty smart guy, but when I was, and I've done, prior to doing veterans law, I used to represent a lot of criminals. So I've, you know, probably cut my teeth in criminal law more than anything. But I got to tell you, I was even, until I started looking into this, you know, more and more, and I started seeing the text messages and realizing, wait a second, you know, this guy wants to marry you tomorrow. Come on.
Tomorrow.
There's something.
But he needs,
you know,
money. But he needs money first because his sister needs surgery. So there's always something. Or his mom just got COVID and can't pay her medical bill, or he needs a new laptop. And they usually start small with needing a few things. But they can never actually talk to you on the phone because they're serving in Iraq. So it's the perfect ruse because you can say, look, I don't have access to FaceTime because we don't have good Wi-Fi on the base, so I can never actually talk to you. You can't see me in person. And they use a picture of sometimes a fallen soldier, and that's a story that I can share with you, too. It's very heartbreaking what these criminals are doing.
Now, David, just interject here, because we sent you all of the IDs and offer, you know, because you saw right through it.
Yeah, I do want to make sure we ask Kristen, what are some of the other common cyber crimes?
I'm going to do that, but I just want to get this one point out.
Yeah, let me just, you know, it was when I saw that ID, I was also thinking of, you know, you see in the newspapers, usually in the comic sections, they have this comic like spot the errors, you know, spot the changes in the picture. Well, when I saw this ID, and I'm retired military reservist. I noted probably about a dozen mistakes in this ID, and they included, for instance, the very background of it apparently had been taken from some state driver's license because you could see sort of the embossed thing on it, but you had to look for it, okay? The person's rank was listed only as GEN for general, which if you're in the military, you know there's only, you know, there's brigadier generals, there's major generals, lieutenant generals, and then full generals, 4 stars. In the Army, there's maybe a dozen and a half, at most 4 stars, and you can easily Google that name. And if you get 0 hits for a general of that name, that should be a red flag, which is what I did. And the picture looked of someone too young to be a 4-star general. There were other mistakes. They had the person's height listed in centimeters, which, you know, American ID cards are not listed in metric, but it had the person's height listed as like 1.78 centimeters, which actually is like less than 2 inches. You know, if someone were, I mean, there were so many of these flags on it that you could just kind of go down the list of things. But if someone wasn't paying attention, as in this case, you know, the person was fooled and, you know, would have been really tragic. I know, Kristen, I know I've read a lot of information from your website, cybercrimesupport.org and fightcybercrime.org. There's quite a few different types of common cyber attacks impacting the military and veterans. Can you tell us about those? I'll turn it back over to you.
You know, and there's one that's a little more sensitive of a topic, but I have a 25 and 23-year-old, and the way younger people right now who could be, you know, newly enlisted, the way they have relationships with people, especially when they're long distance, is all through text messaging and pictures. And one of the things they'll do is they'll send a naked picture to someone. Well, that naked picture could then be used as leverage in a sextortion scam. And people can say, I'm going to blackmail you, and I'm going to put this picture on your Facebook. I'm going to send it to your commander unless you give me money. So one thing I do say is, no matter what you do, if you do send a naked picture of someone, I know this sounds funny, but I'm dead serious, chop your head off in the picture. So they'd have to at least do some kind of photoshopping to put your head on it if they wanted to use it against you. But if you can go without sending naked pictures, that's probably a really important thing to keep in mind. Sextortion scams can be life-changing and can cause a lot of turmoil. Another one is the rental and real estate scams. Like I talked about earlier, we know our military need to move quite often, and they have people posting as landlords and requesting money to see a property, or not allowing people to see the property until they get a deposit. Well, if you go on any kind of those rental websites now, no one checks to make sure that's an actual rental that's available. So they've got these fake pictures, and they say, well, I can't let you see it right now because the tenant's in there, but you've got to send me $3,000 for a deposit, and you've got to move your family in the next month. And so people send the rental deposits, and they'll do the scams around bases. So that's how they target the military specifically. They will have, advertising in the military base areas for rental and real estate scams.
Hmm. Kristen, wow. If someone has experienced cyber scam, what should they do first?
The very first thing I want them to do is go to fightcybercrime.org. And we built this site about 2.5 years ago. We've had almost 1 million visitors since. And it tells you how to recognize if it's a cybercrime, then how to report it, some first steps to take, because it depends on what scam you've been impacted by. You know, if it's a charity imposter scam versus a phishing scam, there's a different response you have to have, a different place to report. So we've broken it down based on what's happened to you, what you do to recognize, report, recover, and then reinforce your security after the event. And on fightcybercrime.org/military, you'll see a special page just for military and veterans with specific information about what they need to pay attention to.
Now, I'm sure you have many stories about people that have been impacted by cyber crimes. Why don't you give us some of those stories, especially the ones that, like I just shared one earlier in the show, where it's almost like, kind of like, I can't believe that. Kind of like, I can't believe that type of scenario.
Yeah, there's one that's very special to me because it's from my family. My father-in-law, who is a veteran, passed away last year, and my mother-in-law is 83 years old and a little old-fashioned in the fact that she wanted to do a really robust obituary. And I tried to explain to her that the obituary doesn't just go in a Sunday paper in your neighborhood anymore. They go online, and that criminals use obituaries to take advantage. So I asked her to try not to put all of the grandchildren's name, where Frank served in the military, where he was born, but she did it anyway. That was her choice. Within 1 week of the obituary going live, she got a call from a young man pretending to be Connor, my son's name, saying he was in Pennsylvania, where Frank was born, and that he was in an accident, and his friend's mom had died of COVID, so he was there for a funeral, and he needed $11,000 right away.
Wow.
And as she was listening, she said, well, you don't sound like Connor. And he had every excuse. He's like, well, I'm calling from my friend's phone because my phone got broken in the car accident, and I'm just so tired and scared, Grandma, I've been crying, and that's why I don't sound like me. And what she remembered, though, was one of her dear friends had been a victim of a grandparent scam, very similar, and her friend told her about it. Even though her daughter-in-law works in cybersecurity and talks to her about this all the time, she didn't remember me. She remembered her friend's story. So it's so important to tell stories. Don't be embarrassed, because very, very smart people are being victimized by these criminals. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with how good they are. So no one should feel shame, but they should tell their friends, especially people who are very proud, like our military and veterans who are there to serve and they're strong. They don't want to admit maybe that they were a victim, but if they tell someone else, I bet they'll find someone else who was too, or they can stop someone else from being victimized.
Wow.
Yeah, I had a brother who fell into a trap with, he got an IRS call, allegedly the IRS, and he actually went off and gave like a few thousand dollars. He was so scared.
Well, yeah, the IRS and the FBI will call you.
You know, and like a few days later, and I said, you know, what were you thinking? He goes, it was so believable.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, but they can't do that, you know, and he just felt like, really humiliated.
Yeah, and the criminals are so good. And, you know, if you wanted, so for example, with your friend, your wife's fiance's friend, if I went online and I looked at somebody's Facebook and their Instagram just for 10 minutes, I can learn enough about them to say, oh, you're Catholic, I'm Catholic too, you love cats, so do I, we both have two daughters, oh my goodness, we both love Italian food, we were meant to be together, and they can sound so convincing because you put too much information online about you. You need to make sure that you don't overshare. That will help keep these criminals from sending you something that is so believable and connecting with you so quickly. It's really important that you stop oversharing.
I had a client about,
go ahead, David.
I had a client about 10 years ago who was contacted by what I think were one of the Nigerian scams. They claimed that that they had located, they were involved with the estate of someone that was in that person's alleged family. The person's name wasn't all that common, but it wasn't, totally rare. Claimed, you know, that it was one of these scams where, you know, if you send some money, then you'll get your inheritance. And he was ready to fall for it, but he mentioned it to me, and I said, you know, I looked at it, and to me it was clear it was a scam, so I warned him, and he didn't follow through with it. But what was amazing to me was... It was amazing how quickly this guy would have fallen for it. You know, he thought he was going
to... We've got to talk to a friend. The fact that he was able to talk to a friend, we've got to make sure people will talk about it. That's why your show, having me on today, I'm truly so thankful, because the more we have these conversations and let people know, it's okay to talk to someone. It's not a reflection on you. It's a reflection on how good the criminals are. And as long as they keep making money doing this, they're going to keep doing it. So... We also created a website with Google. We're very thankful for our partnership, called scamspotter.org. And they came to us and said, we know if we could just get people to stop sending gift cards as a form of payment, we could save people billions of dollars. So that's one of the things that the bad guys will ask for is, oh, you have to pay me by gift card. So we started scamspotter.org, and you can go there and figure out, is this really a scam? We have a whole section on romance scams, and someone can put in a reverse image search to see, is this really the person they say they are? And where is this picture? Because you may find out that picture is on 3,000 Facebook, because they use the same picture of the same general over and over again. I've met a gentleman who's, they found his own picture, he's in the military, on 3,000 different sites, and he was being used as the lure for the romance scams.
Wow. I understand another type of scam is and this affects the military. We're talking about military and veterans. Is they're defrauding people about education and scholarship issues, like taking advantage of the GI Bill and other educational benefits. And I thought that's something that veterans need to be aware of. You know, in particular, that there might be organizations.
It's so important they know that GIBill.com is no longer owned by the VA. So that's a place where scammers have been using to try and make people think that they're on GIBill.com. So that's not really where you go for your GI Bill information. And they can copy an actual GI Bill email and make it look very realistic with the right logos and the right font, and send it to someone with some links on it to click, and they could start getting a lot of personal information.
Right. Another one that was amazing is, you know, those in the military deal with Defense Finance and Accounting Service, DFAS, and people may get an email or a message from someone asking them, and I've received similar things from fake bank emails, you know, where they're where they're essentially phishing scams. They're trying to get your personal information by just simply getting you to click on things. That's another thing that people in the military may fall for. It's, you know, they get this supposed email from DFAS asking them to, you know, verify information, and they need to be aware of that.
Yeah, and someone taught me something the other day, and I told him I was going to use it. He uses the term hop off, which I thought was such a great way to do it. It's very action-oriented. So the DFAS phishing emails are absolutely a problem because you're used to getting emails from DFAS, and it has to do with your money and your bank account. But here's what we want you to do. When you get an email that is unsolicited, you did not reach out to them first, and they want information from you, hop off the email and then go to the actual DFAS website, the phone number that you have, an old bill or, you know, invoice you have that has contact information, and reach them a different way that is not from that incoming email. So what I also liken it to an analogy of, let's assume somebody came to your front door right now and knocked on your front door of your house. And you didn't invite them over, you didn't expect them, and you didn't know them, but you've heard of their company maybe, and they ask you to give them your social security number or a check from your bank account. You wouldn't do that at your front door. But right. Now if you went to your bank and said, I need help from my bank, and you initiated it, that's totally fine. But if someone initiates something with you and wants something from you, like money or information, hop off and then go do your research.
Right, right. And I think another one that's good, that's so important, because I'm on so many email lists, and I get contacted by phone and by email from a lot of veteran groups that are seeking donations. And, you know, most of them are totally legit. But like you say, Kristen, the key to protecting yourself is go to their actual website. If you get something that purports to be, let's say, Wounded Warrior Project, and you're not sure if it's really coming from them. But there are some charities out there that are just imposters, you know, that will certainly present themselves as helping veterans, disabled veterans, et cetera, or military families. People need to be aware of that, that's even an issue, that they're not all charities are above board. So the charity imposter scam is another thing to be aware of.
It is a big one. And what we do it on fightcybercrime.org, on the /military page, we have a section where you can click on charity scams. And what it'll do is there's a lot of great websites, including the IRS, Charity Navigator, who will rate charity sites and let you know, the BBB Wise Giving Alliance and GuideStar. Those are just a few of the links that we have on there. And they'll tell you if there is a true charity behind that, or if it's something that just popped up last week, and if they've been able to report their information to the IRS. So I wouldn't give to any charity until I went to Charity Navigator or Charity Watch or GuideStar and looked it up.
Right. Well, that's great advice. Now, Kristen, you've mentioned the website resources. What can service members, veterans, and their families, where can they go to learn more and to find resources? And also, very importantly, to do something which you said needs to be done, which is to report what's happened to them. What websites can they go to?
Yes. So if they go to fightcybercrime.org/military, what we've done is we've put all the information in one place. So if, for example, you want to report an IRS tax scam, we show you where that correct reporting is with the IRS. If you want to report that you had malware or your computer got hacked, we send you to the Internet Crime Complaint Center. If it's a robocall issue, we send your identity theft, we send you to the Federal Trade Commission. So what we've done is taken the guesswork out of, where do I report this? What do I do? Because there's a lot of different ways to go depending on what happened to you. And so we put all of it on fightcybercrime.org. There's even areas there for small businesses. We know our veteran small businesses are absolutely a target also. And so we have crimes against small businesses listed that will give you advice on how to report and recover and reinforce your security. So we put it all in one-stop shop at fightcybercrime.org. And people can sort of sift through what they need based on what happened to them.
So, Kristen, I have a question for you. With regard to the recovery, what is the likelihood of recovery? You know, somebody falls for the scam, sends out $3,000. What's the likelihood that he he or she can recover that $3,000.
So recovering your money, unless it's reported and acted upon within the first 24 hours, is going to be very difficult. So if you have sent money, what we have, the very first steps to do is you either contact MoneyGram or Western Union or your bank. That's the first thing we tell you to do. And if you get to them within 24 hours, there are chances they can pull that back. If you've sent $100,000 or more and you call your local FBI office, they may be able to pull that back within 48 hours or so. They pulled back, I think, over $150 million just last year alone because people reported right away. But unfortunately, they're not staffed to help people who've lost $3,000. You know, but if there's a big loss, which many times, especially with the romance scam, $100,000, $200,000 going in one wire is not uncommon, unfortunately. So it's important to react right away. Once you think you've sent money and it is probably not for real, you got to go right to fightcybercrime.org, and it'll tell you either call your bank, call Western Union, wherever it is. Chance of getting your money back if you react within the first, you know, 12 hours, maybe 30%. I don't think anyone's ever done a study on it, but just anecdotally from what I hear, if it's after 24 hours, unless it's $100,000 and more and the FBI gets involved, I don't think there's going to be a very good chance of recovering your funds. But you so can kind recover.
This kind of goes back to what you were saying about the victim is so humiliated, feels humiliated, that they don't say anything. And then when they finally do say something, it's probably too late.
Exactly.
Fair?
And it's that pause that keeps them from potentially getting their money back or cleaning it up sooner.
Right. So you really got to speak to your friend like that person who spoke to David prior to acting. That's really the
Don't send anybody money you don't know. If this is not a person in your immediate circle that you hang out with, you've had dinner with, you had a beer with, you went to high school with them, if they don't fit any of those criteria, don't send them money. Just stop sending money right there and do your due diligence. Because if it is for real and you do call the IRS and they say, oh, yes, you do owe money, but you call the IRS site and the correct number, but then they'll have you do it through the appropriate means, not through gift cards or Bitcoin or, you know, in a hurry, for sure.
Right.
So, Kristen, how can you've got a great organization. How can others support the Partnership to Fight Cybercrime's mission?
You know, really helping us connect with veteran and military service organizations. So if you're a part of an organization and you're listening and you go to our page and you don't see the logo of your VSO or MSO, sign up, send Ursula an email, and let's get you connected, because it's going to take all of us to get the message out and get the resources available to people. So we really need those foot soldiers to help us get the word out, and we want to work with every single veteran and military service organization to make sure they have the content to push out to their members.
Well, that's
awesome.
Yeah. Kristen, we'd like to thank you so much. Before wrapping up the interview, I wanted to give you an opportunity, you know, if there was anything further you wanted to tell our listeners, and also to remind our listeners once again of the websites.
Yeah, absolutely. So fightcybercrime.org and scamspotter.org. Everything we have on there is free, available to use. We get funding from the federal government and private sector companies that want to be a part of the solution. And again, we couldn't thank Craig Newmark Philanthropies enough and the Bob Woodruff Foundation for supporting our Partnership to Fight Cybercrime for our military and veteran service members. And we thank everybody for taking the time to listen and take this seriously, because we are making a difference. And with your help, we can make an even bigger difference.
Well, Kristen, thank you so much for being on our show and for all that you and your organization are doing to help people affected by cybercrime. And the key is prevention and awareness. So hopefully this show, which will be also an archived podcast that can be distributed. So thank you again for being on our show. We give you an open invitation to be a guest sometime in the future, as you wish. Meantime, we wish you continued success.
Thank you, David and Rich, for your time and for giving us this platform to share our work, and we really appreciate it.
Kristen, and if something comes up that there's new developments in cybercrime, please reach out to David and myself, and let's get you back on the show, and let's keep our listeners informed.
Absolutely. You've got it. I'll take you up on that. We'll stay connected so that we can keep the information going out where it needs to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine.
Great.
Kristen, take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. That's amazing stuff, huh, David?
Yeah, thanks to Kristen Judge, who is a founder and CEO of Cybercrime Support Network, works with many national, state, and local organizations to help address this tremendous problem of cybercrime that affects businesses of all sizes, but affects individuals. And Rick, I think the example you gave is, you know, it really hits home that it can happen to anyone on any day. And I've witnessed myself a number of these email phishing scams where a person's computer is hacked or corrupted in some way. And the hackers then essentially hijack the person's email list and then send out an email to all that person's contact list, friends, business associates, et cetera, with a message similar to the one that Kristen mentioned, which was, you know, the grandmother situation. So, you know, I'm in need. I'm in an emergency. I need money immediately. Please, you know, that sort of scenario. So it happens pretty common, but I think people – surprisingly, they fall for it. So, again, check out the websites, fightcybercrime.org that Kristen mentioned, and there's just a ton of great links, and also scamspotter.org. Rick, before we go to news.
I have my own situation where I got an IRS call one time, and, you know, when the IRS, you hear IRS, and right away it's like, the headlights of, or the lights on a police car behind you, you get nervous, and
right.
You think, "Oh my God, what did I do wrong?" And then, you know, in the moment, you don't think about the little buzz words or little flags that go up that should make you aware that this is a scam. But
right.
Then, in retrospect, you know, such as, "Don't tell anybody that you know I've called you." And then the real one is the gift card thing. What I want you to do is I want you to go to your local CVS, whatever, and take out 6 gift cards at $500 apiece. You know, so if you keep your wits about you and you start adding that up, you realize, wait a second, this is a scam, and you hang up. But, hey, obviously, you know, I forget what her number was, $420 million or something. So obviously, that's a huge, huge problem. So people, you know, really everyone has to be informed. And this is sad. It's really sad that you've got it's a huge crime.
Yeah. Well, it's and as she mentioned, the military community is targeted for many reasons that she described. One of which just reminded me when I was on active duty. It's the rental or real estate scam. You know, when you're stationed maybe overseas or in some other part of the country and you get your orders to transfer, as the military says, PCS, permanent change of station, to some other place that you've never been to in your entire life or you don't have any friends or family there. You may know people in the military that were stationed there, but you don't know anything really about that area, so you're reaching out online, perhaps, and that's where there are the scammers that will prey on people, as Kristen mentioned, posting fake property that's not for rent. But you know, there's a sense of urgency. The person, you know, may have orders to report relatively quickly, and it might be a tight housing market. They don't have many options, and you know, the scammers, all they want is some quick money, and then they disappear. It's really something to be concerned of, because these scammers Some of them are quite sophisticated, you know, and you know, the fact that they would essentially hijack people's identity as well, as examples you gave Rick and Kristen, Rick, you know, it also shows, goes back to the point of the importance of protecting one's own information more than most people do, you
right.
know. Giving out too much information.
And these, you know, and these criminals, they're sophisticated people. You know, they're not.
Many
stupid.
Of them are. I mean, if they're making, you know, collectively hundreds of millions, or even over the years billions of dollars, just as sort of an industry, it's an industry of fraud built around fraud. But you know, I encourage our listeners to check out those websites, fightcybercrime.org and scam spotter that. Scamspotter.org that Kristen Judge mentioned, and you'll see quite a few resources, but also information about the different types of scams, the rental real estate scam, family friend imposter scam, education scholarship scam, the romance imposter scams, and those are just some of them. And awareness is important, you know, because it does affect people's lives. Identity theft can be very difficult to recover from. That's another element of the whole thing, which is, you know, I've heard of stories that where people have had their identity stolen, and their identities are then used for credit, which then affects their credit rating. Has even resulted in people being falsely accused of crimes because their identity was stolen, and then they find out there's a warrant out for their arrest. You know, so. It's a big issue, and the internet and computer age that we live in make it difficult. The cyber criminal on the other end of this scam may be anywhere in the world, literally anywhere in the world. So you have to be aware of that too. So, any event, thanks again to Chris and Judge for being on our show, and Rick, if you're ready, we can turn to a little news. We've got about 10 minutes left.
Yeah, why don't you tell us about one of your favorite people there, David, Mr.
Okay,
Wells.
Okay, well, it's the favorite organization, Military Veterans Advocacy, MVA. John Wells, one of the founders, lawyer and retired Navy commander, has been on our show many times. And I like to bring this organization to veterans' attention for several reasons. Their website is militaryveteransadvocacy.org. That's a long title, militaryveteransadvocacy.org. And they have basically a mission, as the name suggests, to advocate for those in the military and those that are veterans. They do so with training and education services. They also litigate in federal courts to protect or enhance benefits for military members and veterans. And they also, through legislative advocacy, they try to protect and expand the rights and benefits of current and former members of the armed forces. They have a website that has a lot of very useful information. The website is militaryveteransadvocacy.org. And one of the projects that I've highlighted in recent weeks, I want to do so again tonight, is their Bill of the Week project they started this year. If you go to their website, militaryveteransadvocacy.org, on their homepage, there's a tab at the top. Click on Projects, and then look for the drop-down menu for Bill of the Week. And every week they'll update that with legislation that's pending in Congress, in the House of Representatives, and the U.S. Senate. And they're really staying on top of it. Certainly you can go to the websites for the two committees, veterans.house.gov and veterans.senate.gov for the House and Senate committees, where you can find out more about specific legislation, hearings that have been held, hearings that are scheduled, you know, that you can watch either the archived videos of the hearings, you can or watch them live stream if you can on a particular day, but you also download testimony, which is very informative. But Military Veterans Advocacy's website makes it so easy for you to stay current with critical legislation. You know, veterans law is constantly changing. Every year, multiple laws are passed. that affect benefits. They may expand things. You know, we've talked about Agent Orange. We've talked about the Navy, the Blue Water Navy, veteran issues. We've talked about a proposed legislation to further address service connection for disability compensation for diseases associated with exposure to the open-air burn pits and other toxins. There's a long list of bills, bills that also deal with veterans' health care and treatment issues. So go to militaryveteransadvocacy.org, click on projects, the drop-down menu for Bill of the Weeks, and they've made it so simple for you to communicate with your representative in the House of Representatives and your two U.S. senators. Let me give you an example. You click on Bill of the Week, and you'll see a very concise summary. It'll have the bill number, like H.R. 2127 and S. 927, which deals with health care and other benefits for veterans who are exposed to toxic substances. And with that summary, they'll have a link. It'll say, please contact your member of Congress and senators and ask them to co-sponsor these bills. You click on the link, and it will open up a window that will have a pre-written message, and it's already based on you have to type in your address and the zip code, which will then make sure it connects that message to the right member of the House of Representatives for your congressional district and the two U.S. senators from your state. It does that in just seconds, and then you can fill in more information if you wish, and you click send, and there you go. I've done that for quite a few bills, and I know it works because literally within seconds of sending that in my email box, I will get messages back from my senators and my member of the House of Representatives, my representative, acknowledging receipt of it that quickly. Now, it won't have a substantive response yet. I found that sometimes that takes weeks or even months to come back from that office. But the system does work. It's a way to communicate. And as we all know, Congress responds, you know, it's the old, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So the more people that respond. So if you're a veteran or if you're a member of the military and you want to communicate your views or support about this legislation, go to militaryveteransadvocacy.org on the Projects tab on their homepage and click on Bills of the Week. And it'll have all the bills by week that they've highlighted. And again, if you want more information, you can read up on those bills on congress.gov or the two committees, veterans.senate.gov and veterans.house.gov. So it's really important. It's one way to try to stay ahead of where things are going. You know, Rick, over the last 4 years, we've tried to do that on this show to stay informed, but also to keep our listeners informed of this constantly evolving. It's like everything else in life, you know, some things change very quickly. We want to stay up with it. So before we go to our closing, Rick, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm looking at the different bills that are pending, and they're kind of interesting. One that I'm kind of, I didn't look it up, and maybe you know more about it than I do, but cover the herbicide exposure in Thailand, and this bill would modify the presumption of service connection for veterans who were exposed to herbicide agents while serving the armed forces in Thailand during the Vietnam era. I certainly hope that doesn't mean that they're going to reduce.
It would be to expand it beyond what we know now for Thailand is really only those that show some connection to the perimeter where the perimeter of some of these installations, a very narrow presumption right now.
Right. No, I understand that. My issue is with the word modify, as opposed to expand.
Well, that's just maybe you can forgive
this bill
the draft.
It would be nice if it said this bill will expand the presumption of service connection for veterans.
Yeah. Right. I'm with you.
But, you know, anyway, and then another interesting one is the pilot program for the hyperbaric oxygen therapy to a veteran who has TBI or PTSD. That seems pretty interesting. So these are very, very interesting developments, and definitely keep an eye out, see what's going on in Congress.
Yep. So, all
I
right.
I guess we're ready to coaching in the care?
Yep, go for it.
All right. So we always like to talk about the Coaching in the Care program. This is the program that helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and loved ones can help. Coaching in the Care offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. You can call the program at 1-888-823-7458. Its hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m., 8 p.m. Again, Coaching in the Care number is 1-888-823-7458. In addition, I'd like to once again remind listeners that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs also has the Veterans Crisis Line. Call that number at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they did not get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Once again, Veterans Crisis Line number is 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Back to you, Dave.
Thanks. Well, I hope our listeners enjoyed our conversation with Kristen Judge, founder and CEO of the Cybercrime Support Network, talking about an issue that affects so many people, can affect any of us at any given time. I encourage our listeners to check out those websites, fightcybercrime.org and scamspotter.org, and also the website for her organization, which is cybercrimesupport.org. A lot of good resources there, and it's, you know, awareness is the first step in prevention. It's time for us to go for this evening, so we hope that you've enjoyed the show. We'd like to thank all of you for listening to the Veterans News Hour. If any of you would like to be a sponsor or advertiser on our show, please reach out to us. Our contact information is on our show website, which is bbsradio.com/the Veterans News Hour. You'll find our emails and phone numbers there. And if you would like to be a guest on our show or know someone that you think ought to be a guest on our show, same applies. So reach out to us. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Corey and Hurley Law Group, which represents veterans and disability cases around the country. I'd like to also thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom, for the great job he does for us every week. And we hope you'll tune in next week, same time and station, which is 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Mountain Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Time here on bbsradio.com, Station 1, for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Hope you'll tune in next week. Until then, stay safe and stay healthy.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.